Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 206. We're going to call this one Cousin Eddie. I will explain that as the show progresses. It is the week of January 16th, 2015. Thanks for coming along, and thanks for coming back. If you're a regular listener to the show, over the last 6 months, obviously the show has not come out with the same frequency. I know I continue to make excuses about that and talk about that, and I think what I'm going to do is just not talk about that anymore. I do the show as often as I'm able to, as often as I get the inspiration to sit down with a quiet house and produce the podcast. Sometimes that's difficult to do, even with just one child. It's very rare that there's nobody here at the house but me where I have the time to sit down and produce the show. My podcast studio here in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, is on my kitchen counter. That's where our family computer is. Counter is kind of an extension of the kitchen area. You know, it's like in a desk area. And yes, it is a laptop, and I use GarageBand software on the MacBook Pro, but I'm not the kind of person that really takes my computer anywhere. I kind of like to, you know, when I'm ready to do computer stuff, I go to this area. I know there are, you know, people out there that take their computer and say, well, why don't you just go out to the garage or go here, go there. I don't know. I've just gotten used to producing it right here at the kitchen counter, and that is my podcast studio. So here we are in 2015 with this first show of the new year. And wish Happy New Year to everybody, even though it's a couple weeks into the new year. I guess you heard my voice for the first time in 2015, so Happy New Year, and thanks for coming along. If you're a new listener to the show, thanks for giving it a try. It might take you a couple episodes to kind of get into my, where I'm coming from with my sense of humor or lack of. But anyway, I appreciate everybody that's been coming back show after show after show. And together we get to make this a nice podcast. I hear from people all over the world regularly. Sometimes, I don't hear from everybody around the world on a regular basis, but I hear from somebody around the world on a regular basis. If one person doesn't write in, another person does. And we got some emails for this show. And also, I'm going to talk about my experience at Walmart trying to get eyeglasses. That should be pretty funny, as well as a couple races on the horizon. And then, of course, I'm also going to talk about something I started on the first day of the year. It's not really a New Year's resolution because I don't really make New Year's resolutions because I have a hard time keeping them. But this is something I've done from the first day of the year. And it's kind of changed my focus a little bit on running as opposed to running for events. Training for events, it's kind of just changed my focus a little bit. So I'm going to play around with that idea, and I'll talk about that as the show progresses. So for the new listeners out there, I'm Ashland Dave. I'm in Ashland, Virginia, which is Central Virginia. I'm an ordinary, middle-of-the-pack nobody, and the reason I call myself that is because if I show up at a race or don't show up, no one's going to notice, and I kind of like that. I kind of like being an anonymous person. I am a solid, middle-of-the-pack runner, and I am, I like to say I'm one of many who allow race directors to put on big events, because you can't have a race full of elites and you can't have a race full of slowpokes. You got to have a good old chunk of people who are middle of the pack, regular, ordinary nobodies who really don't do anything extraordinary but pay the race fee, which lines the pockets of the race director as well as the suppliers who the race director has to buy everything for the race. Which includes police, other service industry people, et cetera, et cetera. So I take a lot of pride being a middle of the packer, and that was very evident in the last race I did, which was the Croatan National Forest 24-hour ultramarathon, where I ran 50 miles. I can't remember exactly how many I ran. I think it was 52.3 or 53.1, something like that, or maybe 51.3. It was something like that. I know I did 50 in under 12 hours, which was my goal. And I came in 41st out of 104. So if that's not middle of the pack, I don't know. I really don't know what is. And go back and listen to two shows back if you want to hear some audio from that race. That was pretty good. I actually ran with a running legend and had some comments about that. All right, Cousin Eddie. If you don't know who Cousin Eddie is, he is one of the characters from the movie Christmas Vacation, which came out in 1989. And the character's real name escapes me, but it'll come to me in a minute. It's, Randy Quaid is his name. And first of all, if you don't know who Cousin Eddie is, you're really not going to understand what I'm getting ready to talk about. So I would recommend maybe skipping to a different podcast, or just, you know, going and if you have a handheld device, go Google Cousin Eddie and you'll get the picture. And so what I want you to envision in your mind, if you do know who Cousin Eddie is, or even if you don't and you're still listening, think of the following outfit at a Christmas party. White shoes, green pants that are about an inch too high off the ankle, a real thin white sweater, and a black dickie. And if you don't know what a dickie is, I know it's not what you think. A dickie is it's a turtleneck, but without the whole shirt. In other words, it's just the part that goes down your chest for about a square and goes off down your back a little bit. So it's not a full turtleneck. It's just, I mean, the neck part's the turtleneck, but it's not a full shirt. Well, Cousin Eddie was wearing a black dickie under a white sweater that's really thin, and you can see right through it, and it's really, really funny, and of course, it's just tacky is what it is. Well, this year, we go to a tacky Christmas sweater party every year, and this year, I decided to pull the trigger and wear the Cousin Eddie outfit, and I've been working on it all year, and I pulled it off this year, and it was perfect. And I would really love to post a picture on that at ashlanddave.podbean.com. But the reason I'm not is because it's too hard to post pictures on that because of the camera, the resolution that comes in on my camera. And I frankly just don't feel like going in and fooling with the resolution and trying to change it down. I tried to do it on two shows ago with my picture with Valmir. And as you can see, if you go to ashlanddave.podbean.com, you can see how oversized it is. But anyway, I pulled it off this year. It was perfect. I actually sampled a couple different white sweaters. And the key is having the sweater being really tight. And it worked out perfect. And I worked to the tacky sweater Christmas party, and we had a whole lot of fun with that. But I will say this. It was kind of hard to get this outfit, because the key is having the sweater that's thin enough to show the dickie through. And the reason I wanted to dress up as Cousin Eddie is because the first time I saw that movie, when he came out, when they're sipping the eggnog and he's wearing the Cousin Eddie, the white sweater with the black dickie underneath, I just personally thought that was one of the funniest things I've seen in a movie in a long time. So I've always thought it was funny. And so I was able to pull it off this year. I found green dress pants, I think in China. Got those online somewhere. Of course, the black dickie, you can get it in almost any supply magazine or, let's see, where did I get it? I think I actually found it on a website called Gauls.com, which is like a law enforcement security supply company. And like I said, I sampled a couple white sweaters, so now I'm the proud owner of two white sweaters, one being just for the costume, the other being just a white sweater now that I own. And the reason that one didn't work is you couldn't see the dickie through it. With the key part being wearing a white t-shirt under the black dickie and then having the white sweater so tight that you can see the dickie through the sweater. And I don't know, for whatever reason, I just think that's funny. And that's why this show is called Cousin Eddie, because I pulled it off this year for the Christmas party. And I think I've kind of started a new tradition. I actually wore it to two parties this year and with two different groups of people and had a whole lot of fun with it. The first party I went to was one of the fellows I work with. He and his wife were having a party, and he's got teenage kids or a teenage boy who's 16, I think. And this was kind of like a family party. So the boy had a lot of his friends over there, and I think they thought that was my regular outfit. Like, I meant to dress that way. Even though it was a tacky sweater party, everybody else had these tacky sweaters on, but I didn't, you know, like with garland and, you know, Christmas cards attached to their sweater. And it turned out to be a tack on tacky sweater party. I didn't realize that. It meaning you were supposed to tack stuff onto yourself. I'd never been to something like that before. So I wore my Cousin Eddie outfit, and of course I showed up and I didn't have anything tacked onto me. So some of these kids thought that was how I really dressed. And the white shoes are over the top. They really are. We got them at Goodwill. So that was kind of funny. That's just a generational thing. I don't think some of those kids had seen the movie. But the second party was, you know, a real traditional tacky sweater party. And, of course, just dressing up as Tacky Eddie. I mean, Cousin Eddie is tacky in and of itself. So I would have won a prize had there been a contest. All right, so that's the Cousin Eddie. We'll move on from that. Hope everybody did have a nice Christmas. Okay, races up on the horizon that I had been given some thought to. First one being February 14th, which is the Dogger and Half. Now, I had been approached by Ashlyn Bob about running something called the Sweetheart Half or something in Richmond. I can't remember what it's called. I should look that up just so I can share the name. Okay, the name is called the Love Rocks Half Marathon, L-O-V-E space R-O-X. Now, that's February 22nd, so it's not the same weekend as the Dahlgren Half, which is at the on the Dahlgren Heritage Trail, which is a Rails to Trails venue up in the King George area of Virginia. I've run that the last 2 years. And I really like it. I think the problem this year is I don't think my mileage will be up high enough, and I'll get to that, and the reason is. But Ash and Bob had approached some of us here about running this Love Rocks Half Marathon February 22nd. And first of all, the date was because that's a Sunday, and I teach a class at school, so I wouldn't be able to do it on Sunday. Let me make sure that's a Sunday before I talk too much. Yeah, the 22nd conflicted with a class I teach at my church, so on Sunday mornings. So I couldn't do that, and I knew that ahead of time, and I knew about this race from last year. And there's just another reason, too. It has nothing to do with Ashlyn Bob. It's just, but I'm not really the kind of guy that does these sweetheart races or love races or whatever with another dude. It's just not something I do. Nothing against Bob. I think he listens to the show every now and then, and I think he understands. But, and the sad thing is that it looks like a great event, and I would love to do it with my wife. You know what I mean. You show up with a woman, you don't show up with another dude. And, we both teach the class, so it's just not an option. And if I was to end up doing the Dahlgren Half the week before, I wouldn't do another half marathon the next week. I'm not doing that kind of stuff right now. So I'm going to miss that. Might even miss the Dahlgren Half. Not sure. Another race thinking about, or was, still am, not sure. April 11th, Cedar Island 40 Ultra Marathon. That's down kind of close to the Croatan National Forest where I ran back in November. I really like that group of people down there that puts on the ultras in eastern North Carolina. And I'm kind of would like to stay connected. I'll see them in March when I go down for the Graveyard 100 and work that finish line. Nice group of people. Of course, the railroad run here in the center of the universe on April 18th, I think we're getting 37th or 38th year, maybe the 39th year of that. And I've been involved with that race for several years, directed it for three, kind of assistant directed it the fourth year. And that's a great event. Yeah, I've just kind of really stepped back from being in a major management position for that race. That was at a request of my wife. It really does consume you, and that's really all I can say about race directing. It's an unbelievable feeling when you're done and you put on the event and everybody has fun and it's a success. It's just an exhausting process, especially if you really put yourself into it. You know, it's one thing if you're just showing up. You know, 8% of anything is really just showing up. If you just show up and you're competent, you know, 80% of the work is done. The other 20% is how much, you know, what kind of, how much do you want to tailor it? How much do you want to make it special? And that was kind of my problem, is that instead of putting another 20% in, you know, because 80% is showing up, I was kind of putting in another 50, 55, 60%. And I was just overwhelming my own self, really. So I'll be talking more about the railroad run as April of this year starts getting closer. And then, of course, on April 25th, a week later, is the 24-hour Ultra Run for Cancer at Sandy Bottom Nature Park in Hampton, which is what Dr. Smitty has invited me to, and I will say that did interest me back when I was still on the runner's high of completing 50 miles in under 12 hours back in November, until I read that you have to bring everything yourself to that event if you're going to run. You got to bring all your supplies. And I guess one thing that I really did like with running the Croatan race was that everything was provided by the race director, and you could obviously just bring some of your extra stuff. But, they had hot stuff. They had systems to cook hot stuff. Chicken soup being one of the best things that I took in. And that's not part of this 24-hour Ultra Run for Cancer. It's not a knock on the race. It's just I'm not in a position right now to train for 12 hours or 24 hours, and I'll explain that, which I know I keep saying, but I'll explain that here in just a few minutes. So those are all some events on the horizon that I had given some thought to back when I was making notes for this show several weeks ago. Usually after I put a show out, I start making notes for the next show, and that goes on for another week and another week and another week, and then I get to a point where I need to get a show out. What kind of material do I have to work with? Well, at the beginning of this year, something kind of happened. It happened the first day, it happened the second day, it happened the third day, and now here on January 16th, it happened for the 16th day. Is I'm running every day, and I kind of like it. I think it's kind of neat. I was inspired by Dirt Dog, who did, I think, well over a year's worth of running streak. And, I've heard of people that have run for 30 years straight. We have a local guy named Steve Lerner who has run years and years and years every day. I think he's got a two-mile minimum, and I'm not sure what he does when he's sick. That seems almost a little silly, but I decided to adopt a two-mile minimum myself, and I ran New Year's Day to, of course, that's always the hangover helper, is getting out there running on New Year, running the day after you party. And what I'll do is I'm going to get up my running log here, and I'll share, it'll just take a second, I will share my the workouts I've done, and you'll see how easy it's been, because it's hardly been anything. When I say two-mile minimum, that's the minimum that I'll go out and run. But what I've done is the farthest I've run is 4. So let's see here. We got New Year's Day, I ran 4 miles. So started with 4, 3, 4, 2.1, 3, 3, 2, 3, 2, 4, 3, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3. And I did 3 this morning because I'm off from work. And as you can see, that's hardly anything at all. I've been running on Saturday mornings with my good friend Ashlyn Bryan. Trying to get that mileage up there. I wanted him to, if he was interested in pumping up the mileage a little bit, I was going to see if he wanted to run the Dahlgren half marathon, and that way we could kind of motivate each other. But he didn't have an interest in running that this year. That was kind of his comeback race last year. I did a podcast about that called The Student Becomes the Teacher, which I think you'll enjoy if you want to go back and listen to that. If you're a new listener, go back and find The Student Becomes the Teacher. I think you'll like that. You'll get to know Brian. Anyway, the mileage stays very, very minimum. And here's what I've been finding myself doing. I'm actually doing more upper body exercises, because I still kind of desire that exercise feeling for almost an hour. And the running takes, 30 to 35 minutes for 3 miles. It takes 20 to 22 minutes for 2 miles. So I'm doing some more of that stuff, push-ups, some weights when I get back to the house. And then when we had some cold weather, I'd run over here at Randolph-Macon College at the Brock Center. That's their workout area. It's really nice, very modern. The reason I go over there instead of the YMCA for the most part is that because I don't know anybody. I can get in and out of there. And then, of course, I've been spending a lot of time with my dog, Blue. And he's been running a whole lot. And I can tell that he is it's been a little much for him here and there, because he's been tired out. And I discovered this morning that I saw his first seizure happen, which kind of worried me a little bit. He's 6, I think, and I don't think I'd seen him seize like that. My wife has reported that she's seen him have seizures, but that was the first time I was present for one, and it kind of worried me a little bit. And I had taken him running this morning, and of course he never does that when he's running. So anyway, that's a whole other worry that I'm not really going to get into right now. But yeah, the running streak. So 16 days, and with the 2 mile minimum, and this weekend, I'm going to be running with Ashlyn Bob and doing 6. I promised him I would do 6 with him, and I think I'm okay to do that. I don't think that's going to be much of a problem. I have had some knee pain, and I got an email from Sandy where she was, you know, asking what's up with that. And it's just that left knee. It just seems like it's kind of having that little bit of a crunchy feeling again. And I took a lot of time off after the Ultra. I don't think I ran hardly at all for a month. And, you know, I kind of thought, you know, I guess once that cartilage goes, it doesn't grow back. But it just seems to me, I don't know why, you know, exercising should be bad for you. But anyway, that's a whole separate issue. So I'm going for the race streak. I'm going to try to see how long I can go before it just gets ridiculous. And I was talking with my dad on the phone the other day, and he was asking me if I was doing any running. I said, yeah, I'm just trying this running streak thing just to, you know, I've heard other people doing it. I just want to see what it's about and see what kind of difficulties I run into with trying to do it. And he said that he's known people that have run, and I guess this 2 mile minimum is kind of a little bit of a standard with some people, I guess. And he's known some people that have run, if they know they're going to have trouble doing something for one day, they'll stay up and they'll run. This seems almost a little ridiculous, but they'll run from 11:30 to midnight to get their run in for one day. And then after midnight to 12:30 in the morning or whatever to get their run for the next day. And I guess, you know, in theory or even practicality, that is true. You're running on both days, but it's kind of one run. Anyway, it's not a bad idea. I'm not really into staying up that late unless I'm having a few beers, and then I wouldn't go out and run anyway. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do it until it gets in the way of normal, reasonable functioning for me. In other words, I'm not going to not do something so I can get my run in, just so I can keep this running streak going. Because if you substitute shooting up heroin every day since the first day of the year, and that's the most important thing of your day is to shoot heroin, then, you know, it kind of gets in the way of stuff. So I would think if the most important thing in your day is to do your run, and you're going to neglect other stuff to do that, then I think that could pose a potential problem. Not that I've ever shot heroin or anything, but, you know, if you're doing something every day and it starts to get in the way of something else, or pissing other people off, then, or you have to commit crimes because of it, then possibly you need to kind of look inward a little bit and see if that's something you need to keep doing. But, you know, exercise is good, and I'll keep it up as long as I can. So keep me in your thoughts out there in reference to the running streak. Ash and Tom is trying it as well, and we will see how long we can do it. Some of the obstacles would be obviously the weather here in the winter. If it's if we have a big snowstorm, and somehow you got to get out and do 2 miles, whether, you know, if the YMCA is shut down or the college is shut down, your only alternative is to run either in place, which I'm not even sure if that counts because I don't know how you'd measure it. I guess you could measure it for, I don't even know how you'd measure running in place. You'd have to find a treadmill somewhere. So that would be an obstacle. Other obstacle would be, you know, major rainstorm where you don't really want to get out, or you're injured, or you have a sick family member, or any number of reasons. So I will be fortunate if that never happens to me, but more than likely something like that is going to happen, and I'll have to cut it off at that point. So I'm not putting too much pressure on myself, and I'm really not going to lose, you know, be upset or anything if I can't do it. I'm just going to keep trying it, and I'm going to keep doing it until I can't do it anymore, and I'll of course keep all y'all updated on that. Couple other things here that I want to talk about before I get to the email bag section of the show, because that's always lots of material, is the Ashland Movie Theater finally reopened. And the reason this is important is because it's kind of a landmark in the downtown area of Ashland, which is just a few blocks long. It's kind of a kind of hard to explain, but the downtown area is kind of a big T, and, you know, it's a cross street section, so it's kind of square blocks, and it's really cool. Of course, they played Christmas Vacation, they played Jaws, they're going to play some other movies. What are they playing later this month? They're playing, I can't even think of the name of, they're playing Remember the Titans, which is an awesome movie with Denzel Washington about a football team, T.C. Williams football team up in Northern Virginia. So anyway, that's really exciting, and I have offered to volunteer to work there, to work one of the movies, and I haven't heard anything back yet, so we'll see. I've never worked in a movie theater before, so I'm hoping that it's easy. I guess making popcorn should be pretty easy. So anyway, we're all pretty excited here in the town. And one of the best things about that is that as my daughter gets older, it gives her something to do that she can walk to. And you know, meet a friend there or whatever. So that's pretty cool. All right. I have a special message at the end of the show. And I will, it's something that Paul Harvey produced several years ago. And if you don't know what that is, it's going to be a special treat. As you know, I am a proponent and supporter of law enforcement, professional law enforcement, not, you know, shitty law enforcement. And Paul Harvey produced an audio clip of about the American police officer. And I'm hoping there's a lot of people out there that support what I say. That's going to be at the very end of the show before the national anthem. So I want you to stick around for that. It's something I found on the internet, and it kind of got passed around, and it's very true. It came out after this most recent stuff where the officers got killed up in New York City, which I'm not going to go into right now. And at the end of the last show, I was appealing, you know, as a message of peace. And that was, I think it was the day, it was 4 days after the show, those officers got murdered up in New York City, and it just, you know, that was just devastating. Anyway, the Paul Harvey piece at the end of the show before the national anthem is very special, and I hope you'll stick around and listen to that. So let's check out the email bag section of the show. I heard from a listener that I hadn't heard from before, so we'll talk about his email and see who else checked in this week. All right, heard from Dan, and Dan is a race director from Virginia Adventures. He's done some volunteer work with Race ENC, which is Brandon's company, the one that puts on Graveyard, the one that put on Croatan that I just ran in November. And he's let me know about a new race near Richmond, or not too far from here, about an hour, maybe not that far. Pocahontas State Park, it's going to be a 12-hour ultra. And it's called the Dogwood 12-hour Run. And it's going to be March 28, 2015, Pocahontas State Park, fully supported 12-hour race on a beautiful course. The course will be all trails, and run on a 2.5-mile loop course. And I'm going to include that link in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com for Dogwood 12-hour. You can just search that if you wanted to. Name is Dan Polskamp, race director. And I emailed him back and just told him, sorry it took me so long to get back to you, but I will include your race in the next show. And I've run it. I've done the Muddy Buddy down at Pocahontas State Park before. It's a little hill. I think I do remember looking up this race on the website. It is a little hilly. So it's not something that you could just go out and just kind of be a zombie runner and trudge your way through. I mean, it's going to have some hills. But anyway, like I was saying earlier in the show, I probably wouldn't, more than likely, being that it's mid-fit in January now, not going to be up for an ultra distance by that time whatsoever. However, volunteering for a new race might be kind of fun, and I don't know what I'm doing that day, but I will look into that. 12 hours, of course, would be probably 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock at night. Now, it's $85, which is a little high, but that would mean that all everything at the aid stations would be really good. Very good, Dan. Nice to get that from you. Thank you so much. And maybe I'll see you on March 28th. We'll have to wait and see. Heard from Down Under Dave, and he recently finished the Hobart Cadbury's Marathon last week, which is in Tasmania, Australia. It was his 73rd marathon, he thinks. He says he's lost count somewhere along the way. He said not that it really matters to him. He just loves being out there with others who are chewing up the trail or the road. And here's the funny thing. He said that was a good training run for him. Finished under 5 hours with a 13 minutes run, 2 minute walk, run-walk ratio. He's already fully recovered. He's now getting the mileage back up, and he's going to be running a race that he did last year called the 50K Convicts and Wenches in March, which is pretty funny, you know, Australia being, then they used to be like a penal colony or something way back. And then he's got the Simpson Desert multi-day race in June. He says his biggest problem seems to be working out an eating plan within his weight allowance. And he says, oh, well, I'm sure they won't starve. He said, it's a shame you live so far away, Dave. You just love Australia. It's fine running places, laid-back lifestyle. But I'm not sure that you'd like cricket. Can't see you in batting pads. Happy running Down Under, Dave. Well done, Dave. Really do appreciate the email, as always. And I wish you the best with the 50K coming up. I heard from think this is Tom. Yeah, Tom. And he is, let's see, he's out, he's a lot of different places. Right now, I think he works, he's from Indianapolis. Got a lengthy email from him. Turns out we're in the same field, which is pretty cool. And I'll just kind of skim over here. He says he's enjoyed listening to the show over the years. From the very first time he heard the show, he was hooked. Of course, I'm going to compliment. I love hearing compliments, so I'm going to read them. I think it's because you're very genuine, always say what's on your mind. We also seem to share some of the same views and beliefs, which seems hard for me to find on the internet nowadays. We're very close in age. He's in the Air National Guard. He's been for 13 years, has worked at different levels of law enforcement, and appreciates those comments. Well, you're welcome, Tom. I'm certainly happy to do that. He's done 10 marathons and 150K. His goal is to run a 50 before he hits 50, which is, I guess, August of this year. But due to some hip problems, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. He's going to do another marathon this year instead, hopefully New York or Marine Corps Marathon, which was his first marathon. And one thing that Tom said that was funny, he said that one funny thing that stands out to me is that one time you said you're either a boot guy or you're not. And he said he's a boot guy. He knew exactly what I was talking about. Keep up with the great podcast. Stay safe. Thanks for all you do. It's appreciated by more of us than you probably know. And I exchanged a couple different emails with Tom, and he says he's going to enter the drawing for the New York City Marathon, which apparently opened up yesterday. So, Tom, I sure hope you got into that, and really nice to hear from you, and I'm glad you shared some personal information. Maybe one day we'll cross paths, do the same event. I'm not sure. If you keep listening to the show and you hear something that I'm doing that is near you, or something that you're doing that you think is near me, let me know. And, someday we'll could very well cross paths and meet in person, and that would be really cool. Again, I really do appreciate you listening to the show. And more than that, thanks for the email. And anybody out there can write into me, ashlanddave@gmail.com. Email me. And let me know what you think about the show and where you're from and what you do with yourself when it comes to running. Because I love anything that's more – the only thing that's more fun than running is talking about it. That's kind of what I think. So I got a nice email from Sandy. And she says she's really likes podcasts, always saves it for her running. She wished me a happy new year. And she thought it was great that I'm trying a running streak. She thought about trying it this year, but she knew there would be some times when she would likely take a few days off, such as after ultras, and so she decided against it. And yeah, that's the biggest problem, Sandy, is that for me, is that if I was to ramp up and do say things work out. I kind of want to run the Richmond Marathon this year. I'm thinking about it. So say things work out to the point where I get to my mileage up to a point where it's high enough where I can, okay, it's time to go for a marathon, but I want to keep the streak going. Well, that means you got to get out there and still do a 2-mile minimum, even if you're hurting. And I'm not so sure if that's really such a good idea. So I guess I got to figure out for me, which one do I want to do? So anyway, I'm still kind of working through it. The conversation I had with Sandy kind of went towards thinking about running 100-miler someday, and I just kind of tossed out that maybe I was thinking about that for celebrating turning 50, which is in 4 years, four years and four months. And she'd offered to pace me if I wanted to, which probably would find the easiest one possible, if that's even should be in the same sentence as 100-miler, an easy one. And Sandy, I would contact you about that, certainly. And she says it looked like they'll be in Virginia for the fall, probably for 2 weeks, might go camping. And, yeah, I think that if the problem I have, Sandy, is that I picked up some extra work. And as you know how that is. And so I'm sometimes working in some of the evenings after I work during the day just to kind of make some ends meet, because I hadn't had a raise in 5 years with the job I have, which is kind of a long story. So, yeah, but if you give me some advance notice of when y'all are going to be in the area, I would love to meet up with you and Eric. So thanks again for the email, Sandy, as always. Really nice to hear from you. I got an email for myself here. This is to remind me to talk about this. I'm on the board at the Hanover Arts and Activities Center, which is kind of like the community center for the town. It's it has concerts there. Of course, it sponsors the railroad run every year. It's a wedding reception venue, so it gets rented out for that. The big July 4th celebration is there on the front lawn and inside. It has a Halloween event. It has different shows, kids' shows in there. The Hanover Concert Band practices there and has concerts from time to time. And so I'm finishing up my second term on the board there. So I've been on the board there for the last 6 years. And it also, the HAC is what we call it, Hanover Arts and Activity Center, HAAC, is also the sponsor, or it puts on the Ashland Variety Show, which is a biannual talent show, or just a variety show. And I've been involved in that before, and that is super fun of the highest degree, because you don't have to have any talent to get involved. I work backstage. I move stuff around, and I participate that way. But the HAC recently did a mailing, and this is a prime example of how living in a small town is just a little bit different than other communities. The HAC sent the stuff out to be mailed to the people who are in the show, and my address was not put on my envelope. It just said my last name. That's all. And clearly, the stuff that goes in the mail here in Ashland goes down to Richmond and gets stamped. Well, clearly, they were sending that in it. This envelope had the return address, had the HAC's address on it and logo. So it was being returned to sender. And so our local mailman was returning it to the sender. It got shipped back up here to Ashland. And he saw my name, and he, of course, is my mailman. This is Mailman Mike, and Mike the Mailman. And he actually delivered it and wrote on there saying, "This must be for you." And, of course, my wife took a picture of that, put it on Facebook, and then she sent it to me so I could talk about it in the show. And so I actually had something delivered to me from somewhere else through the postal service with literally just my last name on it. And I thought that was pretty cool. And as it turns out, Mike the Mailman is retiring at the end of this month after, I think, 36 years or something like that is what he told me. And my daughter has been writing to Santa Claus since she could write. She started writing to Santa Claus, or actually since when we moved into the town in 2005. Yeah, 2005. Gosh, has it been almost, it's been 10 years almost. When she could start writing, she started writing to Santa Claus in the mailbox, through the mailbox, and that very nice man replied. As long as she wrote, he replied, and you know, it was just really cool. So we'll miss him, and just kind of a really weird little example of how living in a small town sometimes is interesting. Back on into the email bag section, heard from Thomas Mueller over at Master Competitor blog, and says he's trying to get some traction for 2015. He's trying to self-negotiate a comeback. I'd probably not be too good at self-negotiation, but I know Thomas is. He's after 30 years. It's hard for him to find some motivation, but he's got some thoughts. He's going to go on all plant food as long as he can. He's convinced it heals the body. He said a man opened a fruit and vegetable business right on the main street by where he works, and he can walk by that every day. So there's no excuses for not bringing home the fresh live products. Good point. Get off bars. He loves those. He's lived on them for years, but no matter what the marketing, most are just sugar and chemicals. Sugar is as addictive as any other drug. Once you use it, you want it and you need it. Three, change up the workouts. He is going to do more with the Tar Heel Trailblazers in Charlotte. They ride 4 to 5 different mountain bike areas, and it's a good change up for him. It's going to take some more driving to get there, but it reintroduces the excitement factor. And I replied to Thomas's email there, and I said, you know, Thomas, I said, you're absolutely right on that. I said, my bike is hanging on hooks in the top of my garage, and hasn't been on the back of my car in probably 2 years, and I have about a 10-minute drive to some outstanding trails at a place called Poor Farm Park, which is a not a mountain bike mecca, but people drive up from Richmond to go to that park and ride those trails, and I don't know why I haven't done that. I really don't. So you've given me something else to think about, especially while I'm trying to do this running streak. He's thinking about long-term health. He's 58. He said, if one doesn't push to optimize, it's all downhill. No offense, but I look at many who are my age, and it doesn't look good. And he wants to go in the other direction. Can't be 25 again, but you can get the most out of the package that remains. And Thomas, you're absolutely right. I really do appreciate those emails, and that's giving me some stuff to think about, hopefully, and maybe some stuff for the other listeners. Heard from Glenn Stone from the UK. He said he just got back from a run where he listened to the podcast. He went in went on the BBC News, and they saw that the two police officers had been killed just sitting in their car. Crazy world we live in. On a more positive note, he's back in the running, looking forward to a few days off for Christmas. He signed up for his first off-road half marathon called the Steining Stinger, and it's meant to be horrible in a good running way, up and down big hills in the mud and easily rain or snow, as it's the first of it's on the 1st of March. And have a great Christmas. Da 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 da. Predicting in a moment of weakness in the new year, you will sign up for a 100-miler. Yeah, that's probably when the most. That's the hardest thing to do, Glenn. Is to sign up, you know. And I really do appreciate the email. Thanks for listening to the show and being a supporter. I really do appreciate it. I've heard from Christina at the Lazy Bones blog, and I'm gonna check that now to see if she is still active on that or not. I'm not sure if she is. Let's see if she's still. Lazy Bones blog. Let's see. I can't seem to find it at the moment. I think she's still active on that. Here, the Lazy Bones running. Yeah, she has an entry from January 1st of 2015. So her blog is still new. That's lazybonesrunning.blogspot.com. So let's get back to her email. She had a question about running with weapons. And I had mentioned that apparently in one of my shows. And she says, what are the weapons you run with? Have you ever needed them? Was it for human or dog? And she thinks that could probably be a whole podcast based on her questions. And actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually do that, Christina. I'm going to do a podcast about scanning for threats. I did this several years ago. I'm just going to kind of build on it because it's probably a good time again. There's some ways that you can, there's some things that you can run with, I think, that are probably effective weapons against dogs. And if somebody comes up and accosts you, because trust me, you're not totally safe anywhere you go, because there are mentally ill people who do criminal behavior, and then there's just plain criminal people out there that necessarily aren't mentally ill, but they just want to take something from you. And I'm not trying to blame this on the mentally ill, but unfortunately there are mentally ill people out there that do criminal behavior because they're mentally ill. And then there are those that are just evil, not mentally ill, but evil and want to steal from you or hurt you. And yeah, there's some things you can do to protect yourself, and I'll do a show about that. But I will say that I'm going to say this one thing though: an ASP baton is probably your best non-firearm weapon that you can have. It's ASP and then BATONs, two words. And ASP is the brand. And there's different sizes, and there's one that is small enough to fit in your hand that is similar to running with a cell phone. You can't really put it on your belt because it's metal. You could also call it a spring stick, but you have to check your local laws to see, or your state laws to see if that's something that you're allowed to have in your state. I know you're in Arizona. I don't know what the law is there, but most times if you have a weapon that's not concealed, it's no problem with the police. And what this thing does, it not only does it make your arm longer, it makes your arm metal. And it's a great weapon for a dog or even a human, because people aren't going to expect you to have it. So I'll do a show on that. Don't know when, but I will. And that's a great idea on your part. Thanks for suggesting it. All right, heard from Mac. And said he got behind on the podcast, but he just listened to the Message of Peace show. And you started to hear about the broken toe. That can really hurt. You know, I forgot to do an update on that, Mac. I'm glad you brought that up in your email, which you sent to me just before Christmas. It's better. I still feel it a little bit sometimes when I'm walking barefoot, but I haven't had any problems with it running now. So, you know, I didn't want to agitate it, and so I think it's fine. It did really hurt. Mac said, I agree with you about the police. They're one of the reasons we can live without fear, and they protect our way of life while putting their life on the line every day. And he said he looked up the Ashland Theater on the web, and it looks really cool. Jaws is showing next week. He says he likes the 5K, 10K challenge. Oh, for the railroad run. Said if he lived anywhere near Virginia, he'd try to get over there to run both races. But 3,000 miles might be too far for a 10K, and I agree with you on that, Mac. I can't remember where he said you were from. Oh, here, he's in Oregon, Portland. He did the Mud Grand Prix. In Portland, recently did that in December. It's an 8-mile trail race that's held on the winter and summer solstices. and the vernal and autumnal equinoxes. So it's four times a year. It's been around for about 25 years. It's free. You just show up, sign up, and you're good to go. No t-shirts or race numbers, but there's coffee and cinnamon rolls at the end. You know, that's my kind of event, man. And he's done a bunker to Bonneville 50K every year. He says he's been meaning to send a race report. He may do an audio report. And Mac, please do that. You can do that in a couple ways. You can send me the audio, or you can go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and click over on the right side of the screen where it says send a voicemail, and I get that audio clip emailed to me if it's not too big. And then it's an MP3. I can actually put that right into the show, and I'd be happy to, if you did an audio report, if it, you know, wasn't too long, and if it can, you know, be emailed, I'd love to listen to that. So thank you very much, and appreciate your email. And yeah, I'm going to go see Jaws. So that's called the Bunker to Bonneville. So yeah, send me a race report on that. I'd love to hear it. Let's see. Next one is Dirt Dog. Said he listened to the 50 Mile PR. A couple of thoughts. One, you gambled successfully and won. Trying something new on race day, such as Mountain Dew with no effects during the run, worked out well. He said, myself, I'm a Coke guy. Two, a 50 mile is definitely within your grasp now. It's all about mindset. You either have to have a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. And he said he had a book called, that's the work of Carol Dweck, D-W-E-C-K, and it looks like it's called Mindset, Psychology, Success. And that's a very interesting perspective there, a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. And I hadn't really thought about it like that until you mentioned that. And Dirt Dog, for those who don't know, he's got his own show. Just look up Dirt Dog 50K Podcast, you'll find it. He's done a 100-miler, and so he knows. I remember he did a video of it too, which I ended up getting, and which was really cool to kind of see how he got through it. And Mike thinks that since my wife ran the Richmond Half Marathon, then she's worthy of some podcast time. So yeah, I don't know why I haven't done that yet, Mike. I'll have to talk to her about that. I'm afraid that she probably would make fun of me too much, but maybe the people out there might like to hear why she ended up running a half marathon. And she had a hard time with it, but you know, she felt really good at the end. And really the bottom line about the 100-miler, Mike, is that I'm too scared, as I said in my email to you. I'm still reflecting on that, and I appreciate the input, as always. As always, I really do. Well, that is the email bag for this week. I'm going to go ahead and play the Paul Harvey clip. Hopefully you've come this far and you listen to that, and then stick around for the national anthem. What I'm getting ready to play here was originally written by Paul Harvey. His original last name is Arant. He changed his name. Originally wrote this in 1970. It was a newspaper column. Of course, then he recorded it. And his father was a police officer in Oklahoma that was out hunting and was robbed, and he was taking police action when he was killed. So Paul Harvey knows about this type of thing, being originally part of a police family. So let's take a listen to this, and hope you enjoy it.
Policeman. A policeman is a composite of what all men are, I guess, a mingling of saint and sinner, dust and deity. What that really means is that they are exceptional. They are unusual. They are not commonplace. Buried under the froth is the fact. And the fact is that less than 0.5% of policemen misfit that uniform. And that is a better average than you'd find among clergymen. What is a policeman? He of all men is at once the most needed and the most wanted. A strangely nameless creature who is sir to his face and pig or worse behind his back. He must be such a diplomat that he can settle differences between individuals so that each will think he won. But if a policeman is neat, he's conceited. If he's careless, he's a bum. If he's pleasant, he's a flirt. If he's not, he's a grouch. He must make instant decisions which would require months for a lawyer. But if he hurries, he's careless. If he's deliberate, he's lazy. He must be first to an accident, infallible with a diagnosis. He must be able to start breathing, stop bleeding, tie splints, and above all, be sure the victim goes home without a limp. The police officer must know every gun, draw on the run, and hit where it doesn't hurt. He must be able to whip two men twice his size and half his age without damaging his uniform and without being brutal. If you hit him, he's a coward. If he hits you, he's a bully. The policeman from a single human hair must be able to describe the crime, the weapon, the criminal, and tell you where the criminal is hiding. But if he catches the criminal, he's lucky. If he doesn't, he's a dunce. He runs files and writes reports until his eyes ache to build a case against some felon who'll get dealed out by a shameless Seamus. The policeman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius, because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.